GoAthens.com and the Athens Banner Herald. This is the Georgia Bulldogs podcast. Bulldogs Extra. Now, Mark Weiser and Ryan Dennis.
Hello and welcome in to the Bulldogs Extra podcast from the Athens Banner Herald and Online Athens, coming to you after a week off. We had a little break, a little vacation time. Mark and I both went out of town.
We did not go on vacation together.
Not together, but we did venture off into some mountains in the Great Appalachians with family and friends and whatnot. But we are back. We'll probably get into a little Sevier Wheeler. Triple double action and talk some more stuff. But Mark, back from a little bit of a getaway. Are you refreshed and ready to go for the rest of basketball season?
Well, I've been back for a couple of days, so I would say I'm no longer refreshed after
2 days. Got you
after following a couple of stories. You can check on Dog. I was just about to give the wrong website. OnlineAthens.com. It's Bulldogs Extra.
Have you left us?
Bulldogs Extra. Ryan, we should have done a podcast last week. You were busy. I don't know what you had to do that was so important in the mountains. Is there something you want to share with the listeners about? Actually, you tweeted a photo, so it's not a surprise.
So yeah. Just go to our Twitter and you'll see it. But yeah, I did.
It's not our Twitter, it's your Twitter.
You did retweet it, and I appreciate it. And said, congrats to the happy couple because I got engaged last. Thank you. About a week ago now. So
the studio audience
goes wild. But yeah, that was exciting. Kind of planned the trip around that. And actually, I think I surprised her, which was good. She wasn't expecting it. We've been together a little over a year and a half, but we're getting up there in age, man. We gotta make things happen. So I did.
You need to set the scene. You said you surprised her. Can you kind of, describe? I know you said you're in the mountains. So did it involve a beautiful sunset? Were you watching, your ESPN app, some golf or something?
Yeah. When it went to commercial, I said, hey, baby, come here a second. And I know this is thrilling for all of our Bulldogs extra listeners here, but no, it just it was kind of a cluster, because it wasn't terrible, but tried to set up my phone to take a picture of just us. It was down by a Cooper's Creek that runs through the North Georgia mountains there, and so we were along the banks there of the creek, and it was very pretty, very serene, mid-afternoon type of time, and I was going to video it and try to set it up on, a chair that was there, and it kept falling. And my now fiance, his dog is a little bit crazy and kept yanking her as she was trying to stand. Anyway, long story short, I just said, F it, and got down on the knee and asked the question. And she said, yes. So exciting time.
Usually these days there's kind of a video crew, that's ready to post it on social media.
Should have planned better, yeah.
You didn't get you didn't go over to the football or basketball office and say, could we borrow the video crew to come to the mountains and film it? No.
Yeah, they declined, actually. I wanted to do that. But no, it was great. It was great. And now we're going through the headaches of trying to plan this thing. So, we'll try them for the fall maybe, but things are log jammed after a pandemic year. A lot of people push their weddings back a year and all that type of stuff. So,
yeah. Well, if you're doing it in the fall, have you looked at Georgia's off weekend? When is it?
Yeah. So
the week before Florida. Yeah.
So the 23rd is booked. Already looked into that. 22nd is open. That'd be the Friday. Before that off week. But yeah, definitely considered that. When looking, because as I text some of my buddies who will probably be in my wedding party, that I told Emily my now fiance, he want to say my girlfriend, but anyway, she I told her that we would be the most hated couple in our friends if we got married during a football Saturday. You always heard don't plan in the South. Don't plan your wedding during the fall.
Yeah, it's good advice. So we can segue to my draft diary with Ben Cleveland, because he is also engaged.
That is.
Now he told me that he the Georgia offensive lineman former, he got engaged February a year ago, and enjoying life as fiancés now. I'm sure it's the same deal where You know, the pandemic came right after that, so they right. might have had to do some postponements on that. I don't know exactly when they were set to get married, but what were you going to say?
I was just going to give the details. At onlineathens.com, you can follow the Ben Cleveland draft diary. He's going to do a few of those for us, right?
Yeah.
And so kind of a neat little thing, and it goes a little deeper than I expected. You know, he talks a little bit about losing a friend, which I think that's a cliffhanger. He gets into that. You can see that on his Instagram too, though. He was talking about the loss of a buddy, and he goes into a little bit of that. But it's kind of neat that Ben's doing that for us. And I know I know it's hard for these players to try to get ready for a draft and all and the stuff they have to go to. But I can imagine it's got to be harder right now with limited people coming to watch. I guess Georgia is doing a senior.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like the NFL circuit. The NFL put out the dates yesterday of throughout the country what it looks like. And Georgia's date, I mean, I already had it in the diary with Ben. I think it's March 17th. It's Wednesday. It's usually the day after Georgia begins spring practice, which Georgia hasn't announced it yet, but that would be March 16th then, with G-Day on April 17th. Last year you had no pro day and you had players, kind of doing their own thing. And I remember I wrote a story, Tate Crowder, who was the last pick of the NFL draft, Mr. Irrelevant. And I guess he had a pretty good fresh rookie season with the Giants.
Yeah.
He went out somewhere in Oconee County. I don't remember exactly where it was, but Glenn Schumann, his position coach,
right,
went out there with him, and they filmed kind of a workout video that they sent to NFL teams. I remember Jake Fromm, and I believe it was maybe Tyler Simmons, Charlie Warner, did their own type pro day in Houston County, somewhere over there.
Legally?
you know what? He got in trouble. I don't know if they I don't remember.
They jumped the fence to the high school, right?
I think they did jump the fence. I don't know if that was the... He did get in trouble with that, but I don't know if that's where they filmed.
Right,
that might have been a different deal. But yeah, he... that's the kind of lengths that they will go to... It wasn't a Rush Probst situation.
Oh, God, let's don't get into that guy.
But, yeah, so Georgia's Pro Day will be on the 17th. No, the 6th. What did I say? April 17th is... Yeah.
G-Day.
So it's... Yeah. It's on April 17th is when you have Georgia's G-Day. March 17th.
And they've split
is,
it
is
up.
The Pro Day.
If I'm not mistaken, the Pro Day. So they'll have the seniors, right, in the morning... And the kind of the underclassmen that are coming out in that.
I'm not familiar. I don't know about that.
I thought I read that somewhere. I want to get back to Tate Crowder, though, real fast. You saw, these guys getting in the NFL, getting paid a little bit, and they turn around and do nice things. Did you see Tate, I think, bought his mom a brand new Mercedes or something like that? And then, Mecole Hardman, I think, bought his mom a house. There were two Valentine's Day gifts.
I didn't know if Mecole bought a house or he just totally loved her up with a whole bunch of Valentine's stuff there. You think it was a combination of both?
Yeah, it looked like a house. I was trying to make sense of his.
Well, no, I know that she had a house there, but I don't know if that had already been purchased.
Gotcha.
He's already been in the league for a couple of years.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Hey, speaking of Ben Cleveland and a guy that played alongside him. It's not been a good first year in the NFL for Isaiah Wilson, who played very sparingly. It might have been a handful of snaps. And he also had several off-field incidents, COVID protocol violations, running with the cops.
Speeding, right?
Yeah, with some...
Or maybe DUI.
Driving issues. And then last week, the Titans management... left open the watch out for the microphone.
Sorry,
over there. Left open the question of whether, what his future might be there. And then Wilson tweeted out, I think it was maybe Monday night, that, he's not basically planning to play for the Titans again. And then he deleted the tweet. So,
That comes as a shock to me. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's certain guys that you, you know, wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, if they ran into trouble at Georgia, you know, that might carry on to the next level. But Wilson never really showed any hint of that. I mean, except for coming in as a true freshman and not being able to get on the field. But, it, you know, that just might have been a transition from playing high school ball up in Brooklyn in New York to, you know, down here in the South. So, you know, hope that he can get things straightened out and, you know, whether it happens with the Titans or probably somewhere else. I mean, he's certainly got the size and the potential to be a, I mean, there's a reason why the Titans used a first round pick on him, but, you know, I hate to throw around the word bust, but you're seeing people do that with him now.
I'm sure somebody will give him a chance when, you know, what was he, 23rd pick overall, I think, and in that draft. And like we said,
was he 23rd? I think that was Isaiah Wynn.
They all run together.
He might have been later in the
okay. Well, whatever, you know, first round pick, and yeah. You know, they seem to get more chances than other guys later in the draft. But yeah, I mean, he was always very cordial with us, with the media. You never got a hint that you know, he was a guy that was in trouble around UGA's campus. And and then it was pretty much immediately when he got to the Titans last year after he was drafted. You know, he got in the trouble for, I think he went to a party maybe that had, you know, it was against the protocols of the NFL. And then things just kept popping up one after the other. And, yeah, it was very, very surprising. And, you know, you hate it for guys like this because – you know, it's almost like they don't understand what they're doing to their lives. And, you know, I'm sure he's made a little bit of money, but there's a lot more out there. That, is that your email? You get an email?
I don't know if that was mine. No, I got my volume down. That must be on your end.
So anyway, you know, you just hate to see it for guys like that. And, you know, there was a story a couple years ago where I'm going to tell a locker room story, a legit locker room story. Where we were down in the locker room after the SEC championship, and I believe it was the one that, yeah, it was the heartbreaker that Georgia lost to Alabama. And, you know, a lot of sullen players and whatnot, but they let the media in for, what, 30 minutes, I think, after the game. And we can walk around and talk to anybody we want to, you know, if they'll talk to us. And there's also showers in the locker room. And some of the guys just don't really care who's in there or not. And they walk around. Well, I went up to Isaiah and asked for an interview, and he was very cordial and nice. And then he stands up and yells out, "Are there any women left in the locker room?" And I was like, I don't know. He was like, "I would like to know before I get undressed if there are any women left in the locker room." And he shouted that out.
This was at Mercedes?
Yeah.
So it's like a 30-minute window. So were you talking to him with like 25 minutes into it?
No, yeah. It was late. It was late in the thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was what I always remember. And, you know, it seemed like a, you know, a gentlemanly fella that would wait until all the women had left the locker room until he decided to take off his clothes or anything else and hop in the shower.
Yeah, I mean, NFL and MLB and, you know, NBA, NHL, I mean, those pre-pandemic, I mean, that's open locker rooms. You're, you know, that's part of the job. I mean, these guys, it's their workspace. They're showering, they're changing, they're getting ready to head home or, you know, wherever they're going to go grab a bite after the game. And, you know, the championship setting at the SEC game, that's the only time where you have a true deal like that. Otherwise, at Sanford Stadium, you're getting players, you know, pre-Zoom, you know, outside of what was their locker room and now is just kind of the bowels of Sanford Stadium, sort of, you know, because now they have the new locker room on the other side. But, yeah, that's a true setting. And I guess Isaiah was interested in making sure that nobody was uncomfortable.
Yeah, and that was something I always remember. Hey, let's talk just slightly before we go to a little break. We'll come back and talk a little basketball. But the 247 Sports, I know you respect their rankings quite a bit. a little joke there.
No, I do. I mean,
we do use those. We do use
the 247 Sports composite. Is otherwise you're throwing around three different rankings, yeah.
Right? But you know, those things change so often. I just I often wonder, you know, if a guy drops from 29 to 50. Does that make him a terrible player all of a sudden, you know? But anyway, a couple quick things. UGA commits Gunnar Stockton. I think he dropped from 20th to 40th and lost a star in the process. Bainbridge athlete.
Really? He's a four-star now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
this is a change since when?
They put out new rankings, I think, on Tuesday.
I know, but when that was updated, when were they previously updated?
I don't know. I guess during the season last year.
Okay, so did he have subpar for their standards, like between November and December?
Apparently, see that's
did he have a bad like a camp because these camps are going on weekends now?
Yeah, might have. You know, somebody went out and saw him throw a couple interceptions against, say, Deion Bowie, picked him off a couple times.
Interesting.
I don't know. Deion Bowie went from 26th overall player to the 23rd player in the latest rankings, Georgia commit. But here's a big one. Tyree West of Tift County, 4-star defensive tackle, was ranked 58th. You know where he landed now?
I believe he moved up to a 5-star.
No, he dropped to 158.
Somebody moved up pretty high.
It might have been...
Was it Bear, or he was already
a
5-star?
No, Bear actually dropped a little bit from 86 to 100.
Oh.
So nobody really jumped off. Malachi Starks, who was a big Georgia target from right down the road. In Jefferson, remained a 5-star, and he moved up from 29th overall player to the 13th overall player. And, got to watch Malachi several times last year and the final one in the state championship game. He is quite an athlete. He runs quarterback for Jefferson, but he'll probably come in most likely as a DB, I would think. So, also, Jake Johnson, you know, son of
Brad Johnson.
Brad Johnson, yeah. Who is a TikTok star now. Have you seen his trick shots that have gone kind of viral?
Jake Johnson is?
No, his dad, Brad.
Oh, no. He's gone viral. What's he doing?
He's doing trick shots.
I know.
Basketball.
What are they?
Hook shots.
Is he shooting it like from the grill downtown to...
yeah. It's like the old McDonald's commercial with Michael Jordan. And
you got to show me this. I didn't see this.
Okay. Yeah. Somebody said it to me.
And so...
Barstool Sports actually did a segment on it.
So Jake Johnson being... Is he a junior now or senior?
He'll be a senior next year.
Rising brother. Brother, LSU starting quarterback.
Correct.
Uncle, Mark Rick.
That he is.
Former Georgia coach who wanted everyone to know on his birthday, I guess it was like a week or so ago, that he was wearing Georgia gear for the first time in, 5 years since he got fired, since they parted ways.
He's always up this way. You know, his son has the physical training camp or not physical training camp.
Speaking of which, as we are sitting here talking about Mark Rick, I'm staring. There is a Georgia football framed, along with a University of Miami helmet framed. It's a mini helmet. And this was to be given out, I guess it was, was it going to Rick or what was that going to do?
I think Rick was going to sign them because he was supposed to be the
speaker. Mark Rick was going to be our speaker for the Athens Banner Herald all-area team. What's it called exactly?
It was called the Best of Preps Sports Banquet.
So this was supposed to be in May of 2020. And it went virtual last year. I think Rick still took part in that, and it's virtual again this year. Is that right?
Yes, I think we're heading that way for good.
What?
Yep. Done by Gannett, our mother company, and I think they liked last year.
All right, so then we need to give that to Mark Rick, that frame thing right there,
or get him to sign it and keep it. What do you think?
I mean, if you know what, if you're looking for a wedding gift for your wife,
there you go,
fiance.
Let's get back to Jake Johnson.
All right, no. So I was saying, speaking of Mark Rick's birthday, and he mentioned this when he was coaching at Georgia, but he brought it up again. And I don't know exactly what he called it, but on his birthday, he has the same meal all the time. Do you know what that is?
No, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's kind of a mountain of hot dogs and baked beans, and I'm not sure what else, all chopped up. He throws some other stuff in there, too. And it's like beanie weenies or whatever. I don't know. And he enjoys it. Are you a guy that likes the Franks and beans kind of like at the campsites?
I don't know that I've had that since I was like 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. I would have to go back and try the old Franks and beans. Mm-hmm. But it does not surprise me that Mark Richt is a Franks and beans guy because he's a different character. I'll go ahead and say it.
I think that might be good. I might enjoy that. Speaking of, we were talking about the mountains earlier and Franks and beans. I did not have Franks and beans in the mountains, but and I was in North Carolina, like around Highlands, Cashiers area, somewhere in that range.
I was in Sutches up in.
All right. Well, anyway, beautiful, very windy roads.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta kind of watch your P's and Q's as you make those hairpin turns.
Yep.
But it wasn't a foot long hot dog, but it was, It was had some slaw on there, some chili. I actually didn't read the menu close enough to realize that it had chili on there as well, which was good. It reminded me of my days of covering preps in South Carolina, because at halftime, if you go get a hot dog, they already had all the chili. The hot dogs all had chili on them. So if you're getting the hot dog, you're getting chili too. So
I love a good chili dog.
Yeah. But do you usually have an option of one or the other, or is it usually always on there?
I think, you can get it all the way type of deal. They put a little chili, put a little slaw. You know, you ever go to the Varsity here?
I like chili dog. I'm not sure, though, if a high school concession stand chili dog would be my necessarily top favorite.
That doesn't stack up to Beanie Weenies, is what you're
saying? Well, I just don't know about the quality of the chili coming, the sanitary. Does a high school, I guess it probably does. A high school concession stand does probably have to pass some kind of inspection, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think everywhere you serve food has to have a health check. Hey, Jake Johnson.
Well, no, you were talking about TikTok also.
Listen.
All right, go ahead.
He's 77th. He was 80. So that's a tight end target that Georgia is.
Where are you standing on the TikTok, the Kirby Smart TikTok that came out last night?
Yeah, you sent that to me. He looked like quite a jerk, didn't he? I mean, calling these guys just to hang up.
Were you familiar with that?
No, I wasn't. The thing to me was like Nick Chubb was like.
Wait, so who was on there? It was Chubb. It was LeCount.
Uh huh.
It was David Pollock.
James Cook was one of them.
Cook was one of them. Look, I didn't. You said you didn't know or didn't know it was a thing.
I had no
clue. All right,
clue.
So I didn't know anything about it until I think it was about 2 weeks plus back. Cincinnati's coach Luke Fickell, who Georgia just played in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, they did a he did a the same thing, and his was long. It was like 4.5 minutes. I mean, he was into it. Did you watch it? I think I sent you that one too. Did
yeah
you watch
so
it?
What are you you're it's supposed to the person that you've called is supposed to be like make them think they called you?
No, it's very confusing, because when someone calls you and then you say I gotta go, then you're uh-huh. like, what the F?
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, do you think Pollock or LeCount, you think they're giving a heads up like, hey, we're doing this thing?
I don't think LeCount was. I think Pollock might have been.
Pollock's too busy.
Yeah. Pollock's like, okay. Yeah. I'm not. I don't want to be a part of that.
But right, if you're not following Ryan on social media, he'll be doing one of those in the next week or so. So just be on the lookout for that.
Calling you over and over again. By the way, you can follow me at Ryan Dennis. I made it simple now, so it's just my name.
Oh, same you did? You changed it?
Same with yeah. And what? I got my blue check mark back.
What if there was another Ryan Dennis out there and you couldn't change it?
Well, there wasn't. I guess.
You got it back? You lost it?
Yeah, I lost it for a second since I changed my handle.
How did you have to get it back?
Just went through our people. I know people. And, of course, Mark Weiser over here is at Mark Weiser with a Z in the middle of his last name.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, let's take a break. More to come after this. Talk a little bit about Georgia basketball. And are they good? Are they bad? Who knows? We'll be back right after this. All right, we're back as a lawnmower or weed eater goes off outside of our building. Let's talk.
Wait, what is that? That's somebody, the Classic Center, if you're going to be parking there in the next day or two, you don't have to worry about any kind of, shrubs or...
Is that what that is?
I don't know. Hey, we're doing a podcast over here. Come on. Cut that off.
Hey, Xavier Wheeler, triple-double the other night. Now,
wait, what did you call him?
Xavier.
Yeah.
Not Xavier.
Yeah.
So... I would have guessed, I feel like I've studied Georgia record books.
Yeah.
I like looking through the history of that.
I know where you're going on this.
Yeah. Wouldn't you have thought there would have been a triple-double? Like Dominique would have somehow lucked into 10 assists or something one game?
Yeah. A couple things on this. I mean, I mean, is it like baseball where you have an official score in that? Can somebody be...
Oh, I can speak to this.
I
know exactly how this...
Yeah. Can somebody be more generous in what is an assist and what is not?
So... I did stats for.
By the way, and I don't have the numbers exactly in front of me, but Xavier had like 14 points,
14 assists, right?
13 assists and 12 rebounds, 11 rebounds, something like that. So there's the triple double there. And go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say I did a season of stats. I did a lot of mainly
the women's.
I did the entire women's season and then probably four or five of the men's games, where I sit there at a laptop and there's a code.
Wait, was that hard to do that, to cover the game and then also do that?
No, I wasn't covering the game at the time. I just was there as stat person.
This is before your Athens Banner Herald.
Exactly. Yeah. I was working down the road and would come up here and do the stats, and got paid my $22 a game. But anyway, there's a code and all that. And yes, there is a person sitting next to, and I wouldn't call it official person. They are hired by UGA to do these stats. And yeah, it's pretty much at the discretion of that person. But I will say, it's not like, give that person a rebound just for the hell of it, you know? I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. It's so fast-paced that, you know, people are talking at all times, you know, and saying that code that goes into the stats. So usually it's easy. So, you know, you can see where Xavier would make a pass and somebody would make a field goal. And so, yeah, pretty much the stats are pretty darn legit, if that was your question on the official scoring of it. And I think it's the same way at every college. And, you know, it's pretty much as accurate as it can be.
Like, I didn't go back and check on this later, but I did notice during the game, and this is not about Sevier, but I was making a mention in the story I was writing that Katie Johnson, I thought he had three assists in like three possessions, which, you know, he's been a great scorer, and I haven't noticed as much about him dishing the ball off. But I went back and looked at one of the plays that was in question. It was one of the ones that stood out. It was Justin Kyer that fed to Marnie Kamara after the ball almost went out of bounds for a bucket. And I think they had credited Katie for the assist. And I don't know if they ever went back and credited Kyer instead. But that's my point with, you know, you don't know if somebody else could just, you know, add a stat or just subtract a stat. But, yeah, you would think that. Now, the other part of it is the game now is more offensive-friendly rule-wise. So that could also you didn't have a shot clock, you know, 40 years ago probably, right? I mean, I don't know when that came into – remember North Carolina used to do the four corners long time ago? Actually, wasn't there – I saw a high school score the other day. It was like 8-6 in Alabama.
Look, you know, they're bringing shot clock into high school games now.
In Georgia.
In Georgia. Yeah. And I think it's kind of becoming universal.
Right.
But I've been there when, with 2 minutes left in the game, a coach would call the four corner, or 2 minutes left in a quarter, and a coach would call the four corners.
Hey,
and I'm like, God, poke my eyes out.
The goal of the game is to win.
8-6, I guess, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's kind of, I mean, I don't know the deal there. They must have just held the ball for, or maybe the teams just couldn't shoot. I don't know.
Yeah, I've seen that game before, too.
All right, so Sevier gets the triple-double, which, you know, I didn't really even realize it was much of a thing until the TV was making a big deal about how that never happened before at Georgia. And that really kind of took away from, you know, what was a pretty good storyline to begin with, which was just Georgia, you know, getting another quality win against an LSU team that was really hot. And they just controlled the game, you know. Georgia has played a lot of catch-up, you know, in the game at Tennessee, the game at Florida, where they maybe make the final score a little bit more impressive than the actual 40 minutes if you watched it. But this one was just Georgia, you know, pretty much a thorough beatdown. And I'd say the score this time was closer than it probably was in reality. Georgia won by like 13-ish or whatever it was. And you got to be encouraged. You see Tamani Kamara with career high points for him. I mentioned Katie Johnson, Ty Fagan. These are guys that Georgia, I mean, there's been so much roster turnover and attrition in the first two seasons for Tom Crean. But, you know, these are guys you need to have come back because if you are going to continue to take strides, and now it's hard to say that this team, I mean, it doesn't necessarily feel like it. If you said Georgia would go 7-9, which is, what do they know? They're 7-9 now. Because some of the losses were kind of disconcerting, you know, getting pounded at South Carolina, getting pounded at, was it Arkansas, Alabama?
Yeah. And giving up 115.
Yeah. I mean Alabama is, you know.
But.
Yeah. Actually, and don't look now, but it's still, you know, probably a pretty much of a reach. But I saw I can't remember his name, but he goes by Bracket Wag on Twitter. USA Today's bracketologist has Georgia as under other teams considered. Now, that's not in the first four out or the next four out, but it's kind of in the next tier of teams. But my point is, look, South Carolina's not going to do anything to that unless you lose to them. The SEC is going to be announcing, I don't know, it might happen as early as today, or today's Thursday, right? So, you know, you presume it's going to happen. There's been word that it will happen this week. It will have to happen this week. You know, Georgia's got a game next week that to fill the schedule, the last game. Texas A&M hadn't played for like a month, and one of the games canceled was Georgia. What could help Georgia, like, if there's still that small little outside chance to make the NCAA tournament? You would need to play another Cadell. You know, the problem is Alabama's not coming here, you would think. Actually, they could come here, couldn't they? But, well, the reason they couldn't, because Georgia had a game canceled that was on the road. Now, I don't know if that matters or not. I think Georgia-Kentucky is a possibility at Rupp Arena. If Texas A&M can't play, and Texas A&M has a lot of games to make up. Otherwise, who hasn't Georgia played twice yet?
Well, they did play at Arkansas, so that would be...
Well, who hasn't Georgia played twice that they haven't been on the road?
That's what I'm thinking through here.
Yeah, Kentucky.
Played LSU twice.
Mississippi State, they could go to Mississippi State.
So why would they not...
They could go to Mississippi State.
But why would they not go to A&M?
Well, because A&M's got seven games to make up. Why would Georgia be the one? I mean, they could be.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't know if they can play, though. They already had their Saturday game canceled for this week.
What about Missouri?
That's another possibility, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So interesting. And wherever Georgia goes, what team will show up? I mean, isn't that the kind of the oddity of this team? It's like you can look like you did against LSU the other night. I think it comes down to making shots, right? Because this is a team that, I mean, how many times can you see them go 0-for-12 to start a game on threes?
Making shots, and then also, you know, kind of showing a little bit of more verve and life on defense and not giving up a bunch of open threes.
Yeah.
Communicating better is what Tom Crean's always talking about. All right, another a team we know for sure is going to the NCAA tournament is the Georgia women's team. And Joni Taylor has that team projected as a 3 seed. I think the NCAA is coming out with their official selection committee second reveal rankings on Sunday. Georgia's playing Kentucky tonight in Stegman. It is a top 20 matchup. Georgia just beat Tennessee, swept the season series for the first time since, like, was it 84, 94?
No, it was 85.
85, yeah.
Because, you know, I remember that.
Yep.
The year I was born.
Hey, onlineathens.com got a story about that team and, you know, heading into that game tonight. So this is a senior-laden team. And you know what? Recruiting has a lot to do with obviously the success of these teams, and people want Georgia to go out and now, give them credit for developing Sevier Wheeler, who was a fringe top 100 player,
right?
Okay. And Tumani was also a top 100 player, but the last two classes Georgia doesn't have top 100 players. Although KD was, the grad transfers have been hot and cold. Justin Kyer, one of those guys, but I mentioned this because Georgia has two McDonald's All-Americans on the women's side, first time in program history.
Three, right?
What's that?
It's three, wasn't it?
No, there's two.
Was it two?
Two. Now, they have a McDonald's All-American on the roster that was a transfer from
Michaela Coombs. Yeah.
What else before we head out of here? Hey, baseball.
I was going to say baseball.
Baseball's coming back home. They beat Georgia State on Wednesday.
Took three out of four from... Took three out of four from Evansville, was it, over the weekend. I don't think we'll know anything about this team till conference play starts,
because of the quality of opponent,
and they've had some injuries to some key starters.
They are getting back
Ryan Webb
this weekend, and then Jonathan Cannon will be the next weekend.
Yeah, so, you know, if they get those guys back and can be healthy heading into SEC, maybe they can do some.
SEC is loaded in baseball. It's like, I think, seven of the top 10 or something like that.
1 and 2, Ole Miss and Vandy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kumar Rocker of
North Oconee will be the number one pick in next year's MLB draft.
That's likely. Although he has a teammate,
Al Leiterson,
that's also seeming to be. Is he draft eligible? I guess he is.
I think they both are. Yeah.
Tracy Rocker, his father, the former Georgia defensive line coach who went to South Carolina, was at Auburn for a cup of coffee, and I believe now is with the Philadelphia Eagles. So a lot of moving around, and we should make mention. That's Ryan's computer.
No, nope, mine's muted now.
Well, is it the? It must be the computer that we're recording the podcast on.
My bad. Yep.
Thomas Brown, the former Georgia running back, also in the NFL with the Los Angeles Rams,
as an assistant head coach. Right? I mean, yeah, is that big? Seems big.
I don't know. I mean, it's not the same as being a coordinator.
Yeah.
There's a lot of...
What was his title?
What do you mean? What was he doing? He was a position coach. Okay. I can't remember if he was... I'm presuming it was running backs.
Yeah.
Hey, so here's the deal with the LA Rams. Thomas Brown is your, running backs coach and assistant head coach. Nick Jones, who was Georgia center...
From Noonan or somewhere at Baldwin...
Right. Anyway. So Nick Jones, 2006, Nick Jones was your starting center, I believe. Matthew Stafford was your quarterback. Nick Jones was with Mike Bobo at Colorado State, I believe, for a season. Was also at Coastal Carolina before that, I believe at Air Force. He just got hired by Georgia Southern like 2 weeks ago. He just left Georgia Southern, went to the Rams as an assistant defensive coach or assistant coach of some sort. Look, the NFL's got a lot of assistant coaches. Now, he might be an assistant position coach as opposed to just a position coach, but he did go there. So you have now two of Matthew Stafford's Georgia teammates on the coaching staff there as Matthew Stafford begins his LA time.
And you know, I was listening to the big radio stations the other day, and they were talking about is this the year for the Rams?
What's the big radio stations?
You know, something like ESPN or something on my Sirius XM. Huh. And you know, this is supposed to be the year because they got Matthew Stafford and all these other pieces. So I don't know, we'll see.
They got a defense, don't they?
They got a heck of a defense. Is Matthew Stafford saying that he was just stuck in Detroit? Could he have been a big time Super Bowl winner if he'd have gone, you know, I don't know, to anywhere else?
I think we might start to find out now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have much playoff history, does he?
No. One game, maybe two games?
I'm not sure.
Hey, let's get out of here. It's getting late in the day. We got meetings all day, so let's go to them. What do you think?
All right, we'll talk to you guys next week because I don't think Ryan's popping the question next week to anyone else. So
I am not. I've already been popped.
See you then.
All right, see you guys.